is virtually the religion in many countries. She's prayed to more than Jesus is in some parts of the world. And it's probably for a lot of those reasons that we don't hear a great deal about her in Protestant circles, because of the veneration that Catholicism gives to her. But once we put aside the myths and some of the practices, and we get back to what the Bible says about Mary, we can only take heart and be encouraged, as we ought to be, by all the saints that have gone before us. Mary is a deeply humble follower of the Lord Jesus, as well as his mum. We know virtually nothing about her background. We know that she was engaged to be married to Joseph of the line of David. It is likely that she was quite young when she gave birth. You were really married as teenagers back in those days. That was the norm. Judging by circumstances, doesn't sound like she was that well off. But we do know that she lived to a reasonable age. She was there at the cross, and she was there in the early days of the church. She is mentioned amongst the names of the disciples. But apart from the infancy narratives, there's only a few other mentions of her in the Bible. Let's touch on just a few passages very briefly. Mary's visited by the angel Gabriel. The angel's greeting is this: "Greetings, you who are highly favoured. The Lord is with you." That word favoured, it only happens one other time in the Bible, Ephesians 1 verse 6, and it means the free bestowal of grace. So the very first thing Gabriel says to Mary is that she's about to receive a free gift of God's grace. She doesn't deserve that honour. It's about God choosing her. It's about grace. Doubtless there were many other young women in Nazareth. God could have prepared them, but he chose her. How does Mary react? Well, it was highlighted in the drama, wasn't it? When Zechariah was promised a child who would be John the Baptist, he doubted. But Mary answered, "May it be to me as you have said." She shows great faith. And what she's just been told is extraordinary, and that by an angel. Mary then goes to visit Elizabeth, her relative. And when Elizabeth sees Mary, she cries out, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear." Mary responds with something the NIV has labelled in your Bibles as Mary's song. We also know it as the Magnificat because of the Latin for magnifies or glorifies. And that's what Mary does. She glorifies God. It's very similar. It has a lot of parallels to the song of Hannah, who gave birth to Samuel when God opened Hannah's womb. Mary talks about the humble being exalted, the proud and the rich being cast down. In other words, the apparent human order of things is being overturned. And God, Mary points out, will be faithful to his covenant. All of this, of course, is before Jesus is even born, before Mary sees any of that. Then we come to Jesus as a child, and we looked at this passage a few weeks ago in Luke 2. Jesus and his family visiting Jerusalem. When he's 12, he gets separated from his parents and then reunited. And the story finishes this way: "Then Jesus went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart." In John chapter 2, Jesus' first public ministry in John is a wedding in Cana, where Jesus changes water into wine. And it's very clear that Mary has an understanding that he can do the supernatural. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." "Dear woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied, "My time has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." That's actually an incredibly important story in the formation of the Catholic doctrine of Mary being an intercessor, because for the first time she intercedes to Jesus on behalf of humans. Well, other mentions after the ascension, Mary is mentioned as being amongst the disciples in that new small Christian community that was gathering, but she's not mentioned with any discernible preeminence. She's just one of the crowd. And that ties in with Jesus' words back in Luke 8, where he doesn't draw his mother or brothers out for special treatment. He simply says, "My mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice." So what do we learn about Mary from the Bible? She's humble. There's a gracious acceptance. There's a growing knowledge of who her son is. And there's faithful discipleship. Two of the Gospels have quite a lot about Mary at the start, the two Gospels that have the Christmas story. But after that, there's not a great deal. And by the time we reach the cross and Acts chapter 1, she's just another name in a list of followers. But that actually tells us something, doesn't it? It tells us that the emphasis in the Bible is not on Mary, it's on Jesus. Mary's there, she has a role to play, but the emphasis is all about Jesus. And we ought to take heart when we look at Mary. She's an impressive woman. She has a quietness of spirit, a humble attitude, a strong faith. But she was just another human. She wasn't perfect. God didn't choose her because she was, just as God didn't choose Israel because they were. God doesn't choose us because we are not. He chooses whom he will, and he works his purposes out as he wills. If you ever get into a conversation about Mary with someone whose understanding does not come from the Bible, but perhaps comes from human tradition, don't be afraid to dialogue about her, about what we can learn from her. She is a woman who had every reason to be proud, but was a humble servant, giving all glory to God. And don't be afraid to point to the centrality of Jesus in all of God's plans and give thanks. And one thing, whenever I read the Bible, I like to remember is that one day, like all the saints we read in the Bible, we'll actually meet these people. We will meet them face to face and we can get to know them. And what a great joy that will be. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. "But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the full rights of sonship." Amen. We're going to sing.
Please stand.
What your God has done. What a wonderful shock of unruly fair hair sitting in front of us this morning.